All right. It's One Question Friday, where we answer one question from one of the listeners. If you want to submit your question, go to mfmpod.com and click the little microphone to submit your question. This one came in through text message. Somebody said, Hey, dude, I'm giving my first talk at a conference. So I got invited to speak at this conference. I'm giving my first talk. I'm excited about it, but a little bit nervous. Like, he's like, I know it's going to be fine, but I just don't want it to be lame. He's like, you and Sam are really good at doing these kind of public speaking things. You know, what's the trick? You know, what do I do to make this good? What do I do to make this not just the same old, same old? So I thought we could give maybe our take on what we do to make public speaking fun / interesting. What do you got?
Well, I would say first, public speaking is a skill. So a lot of people think, well, I speak all the time and I speak in public, therefore I'm probably going to be decent at public speaking. It doesn't really work that way. So public speaking, some people are talented and they are just better. Gary Vaynerchuk's like that. I think he's just better than everyone else. But for most people, it's a skill. So I highly recommend like reading a book on it or like Googling like how to be better at this. It's a skill set. And so there are tricks. I don't think that this is like the best time for us just to say like all the tactics are, but a few of them are just like on storytelling. And it's very similar to stand-up comedy, which again, some people are just born better, but a lot of people, you just have to learn and try. And so buy a book on it. And I think that's actually the easiest first step.
Is there a book you'd recommend on it or just not on the top of your head?
Yeah, I think what's the one that you and I were reading on storytelling by the guy who like won all the Muse comp?
Storyworthy, I think.
Storyworthy was awesome. That I had a bunch of takeaways from that. And then Speak Like a TED Talk or something like that. It's called like the TED Talk or TED Talk Speaker's Guide or something like that. That's quite good. But the Storyworthy, I actually thought was pretty phenomenal.
So I'm going to tell you what I told him. I said, and by the way, he had also said, he's like, I want to bring that showmanship that you guys talked about. So I think he was picking up on what we talked about. So I said, all right, three things. I said, number one, be in peak state. It's very easy when you're nervous to go kind of like inward. You're kind of low energy. Your mouth's a little dry. Your shoulders hunched over. Like fundamentally, as soon as you walk out there, people are going to read your body language. They're going to read your energy and they'll start to respond to it. When somebody comes out and they're electric, you can feel that they're excited, that they got a bounce in their step. You're paying attention because you want to know what they're all about. I said, so just make sure before you go out there, do some pushups, go run a wind sprint, do some jumping jacks, do whatever you got to do physically to literally just get blood flowing and be in a like more like high performance state. I said, think about it. An athlete doesn't go on the field until they are warmed up, until they're ready. A singer or a dancer or a performer, they're not going to go on the stage until they're warmed up and they're feeling loose and warm. It's the same thing if you're going to go talk. You want to feel loose and warm, both in your voice, but also your body. So that's the first thing. Just do the physical. Get the physical part right. The second is, remember, this is the first of many. You'll do this 500 more times. So this might feel like a big deal now, but a year from now, this will be an afterthought. You won't even really remember how it went. Just treat it as a practice rep. One of 500 times you're going to do this. It's a chance to experiment with some things. That'll depressurize this moment for you. And it'll teach you to remember that like this is just, like you said, it's a skill. You got to get good at it. To get good at any skill, you need practice reps. I said the last one, I said storytelling. I said, have a back pocket story, right? So what's a back pocket story? It's like you started the podcast that we just recorded with the, dude, I got to tell you this funny story on, you know, there's something that happened to me today. Before we do this, I was walking through the park and these nannies were getting attacked by this guy and they're in my fanny pack and me and the fanny and the nannies, we all fought these guys off basically. It's like this funny story. And it doesn't need to be a hilarious, extreme story like that. It could be anything. It could be like, let's say you're at a conference. You might be like, before we start, I just talked to this guy in the back and he asked me a really interesting question. I want to ask you guys this too, because I think we might be really split on how we answer this question. Already, you really want to know what it is. And I've taken control of the scenario and I've made it already an interesting talk before we jump in and say, hi, my name is this, I'm from this. And today I'm here to talk to you about blah, blah, blah. So have a story in your back pocket. It could be fun, interesting, controversial, whatever, something that's gonna get them.
You don't become the world's most valuable women's sports franchise by accident. Angel City Football Club did it with a little help from HubSpot. When they started, data was housed across multiple systems. HubSpot unified their website, email marketing, and fan experience in one platform. This allowed their small team of three to build an entire website in just 3 days. The results were nearly 350 new signups a week and 300% database growth in just 2 years. Visit HubSpot.com to hear how HubSpot can help you grow better. All right, back to the pod.
And the trick is, I said, you need to be excited by it. If you're excited by it, they'll be excited by it. Remember the lesson that, what's her name? Miss Excel, that woman who's, she basically teaches you how to use Excel better, but somehow that's like going viral on TikTok. And why is something as boring as Excel tricks going viral on TikTok? One of the reasons is she like comes out with this crazy energy. She seems really excited by this stuff. And it's just enjoyable to watch her do it. Even if you're not even going to use Excel that day, it's just enjoyable to watch somebody do that. And she says this in her interview. She goes, content is the transfer of emotion. I got to get myself into the emotion of being excited about something if I ever want you to be excited by it. I have to get myself to be fascinated by something if I want you to be fascinated by it. And she's like, I just get myself into that state. Then I run to the phone, click record, and I start to do my thing. And it's like, that's actually what it is. Content is the transference of emotion. And so what most people try to do is they think about what they're going to say, which is intellectual. That shit's words. People don't remember the words that you said. They will remember if you had some emotion, some energy behind you, and they'll remember the vibe. They'll remember how you made them feel, and they'll take away just a few nuggets out of what you said. Most of what you said, 90% of what you say, will go in one ear and out the other.
Our software is the worst.
Have you heard of HubSpot?
See, most CRMs are a cobbled together mess, but HubSpot is easy to adopt and actually looks gorgeous.
I think I love our new CRM.
Our software is the best.
HubSpot. Grow better.
And that's a thing I tell people all the time. I told you this when you were early on, when I was maybe 6 months ahead of you in terms of content. You're like, how do I write these articles? And I was like, it's not really about what you want to teach. It's about what you want to make someone feel. And oftentimes when people give presentations, they think, well, I'm talking about this, like I'm talking about like mosquitoes and how they like cause malaria in Africa. And this is like a really serious thing. It's like, yeah, it could be serious, but you need to weave in some stories and you need to do some crazy shit. And it's no different than a comedy show or a play where you capture attention. Yes, you're doing it about something important and isn't just entertainment, but you have to weave that in there. One of my favorite tricks I've saw is when they brought up malaria is when Bill Gates or someone talked about malaria and mosquitoes. And he goes, I want to show you why this is an important deal. And he opens up this jar and mosquitoes fly out all over the place. He goes, I'm going to tell you about how many people die from malaria, which comes from mosquitoes just like this. And like, so people like are like, you know, that's showmanship. And so it's the same way with any talk you're doing. You don't have to do something that extreme, but it starts with the story. It starts with an emotion. And then I would say the last thing is you have to treat people, your audience, regardless if they're smart, you kind of got to treat them dumb. Meaning a lot of people, what they do is they put way too much emphasis on the slides. And in my opinion, most talks should be able to be like at least a B level without any slide. The slide maybe makes it go from a 9 to a 10, but the slides to me, it's kind of like when you are when you're in a band, it's about how do I make this song great? It's not how do I make this one little guitar solo awesome? It's like, no, dude, the guitar solo exists to make the song great. The song doesn't exist to make that solo awesome. It's the other way around.
Right.
And so it's about it's about my performance. And it just so happens that this PowerPoint is just one piece of that. And I need to treat people stupid and assume that they're not going to read this small text. And it's up to me to use my words and my body language in order to make them feel something. And the slides are just an extra added effect.
That's right. All right. I think that's great. There's a ton more. I feel like we could probably, like, there's probably 10 more things. But really, the reality is you don't need to know all the things. If you just do the things we talked about, right, which is basically, you know, show up with energy, have some showmanship through either a little magic trick or a story or something like that. And treat it like practice because you're gonna need to do this 100 times before you're any good at it. If you just internalize those three, you're gonna be ahead of the curve. You're gonna be ahead of 80-90% of people.
Practice. We're talking about practice, not the game. We're talking about practice. Yeah, we're talking about practice.
All right. So when my employees join Hampton, we have them do a whole bunch of onboarding stuff. But the most important thing that they do is they go through this thing I made called Copy That. Copy That is a thing that I made that teaches people how to write better. And the reason this is important is because at work or even just in life, we communicate mostly via text right now, whether we're emailing, slacking, blogging, texting, whatever. Most of the ways that we're communicating is by the written word. And so I made this thing called Copy That. That's guaranteed to make you write better. You can check it out, copythat.com. I post every single person who leaves a review, whether it's good or bad, I post it on the website. And you're going to see a trend, which is that this is a very, very, very simple exercise. Something that's so simple that they laugh at. They think, how is this going to actually impact us and make us write better? But I promise you, it does. You got to try it at copythat.com. I guarantee it's going to change the way you write. Again, copythat.com.